the same chapter. We spoke about prayer for about a good 2 hours, just thinking through it. When I look at this verse, Luke 18, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Another version says that they should always pray and not lose heart or not faint. So this morning, I want to raise up a defense of prayer to give us reasons why we should pray. This message will not be like a YouTube tutorial to teach us how to pray or teach us what to pray, because there are many debates about prayer. When we were children, we didn't think we could pray with our eyes open because we didn't think God would hear us. And there are some people who still say if you're praying, your eyes should be closed, or you should be bowed, you can't be standing, you can't wear a particular type of clothes. I'm not trying to end any debates about prayer. What we're going to be looking at today is reasons why prayer still works, why we should pray. So when we look in this passage, Luke 18, it basically tells the story from verse 1 through to verse 8. It tells the story of a woman who needed help from a judge. But the judge wasn't a fair person. He didn't like to help people. But she kept on going back to him, going back to him, going back to him, until eventually he gave in and he helped her. So, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So my first defense of prayer is that we should pray because prayer is powerful. Say that for me. We should pray because prayer is powerful. One more time. We should pray because prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. When I was growing up in my church, they always said, a prayerless church is a powerless church. A prayerless church is a powerless church. But why is prayer powerful? What is prayer? In a simple way, prayer is communicating with God. So it's not always a formal thing where you clasp your hands and close your eyes and you kneel. Prayer is just you talk to God, God talks back to you. It's communication. So if prayer is talking and communicating with God, then prayer puts us in contact with God. So if we engage with the master of the universe like we just sang, then prayer has to be a powerful thing. Because it is the way that we interact with the source of all power. Prayer gives us access to the hand and the heart of God. So if you know the thing that can move the mountain, then you have access to power. Amen? So if prayer gives us access to God, then it means that prayer is capable of great things. So much so that when we look through scripture, if we look at any of the giants of the faith, Hebrews 11 has a list of all the people a lot of the people in scripture who were considered giants of the faith. When we look at the very life of Jesus Christ, the thing Jesus Christ did most was pray. Repeatedly in the Gospels, it says, and Jesus withdrew by himself to pray. And he went away into the mountain to pray. When he needed empowerment, he went to pray. He needed help, he went to pray. Why? Because prayer was powerful. Prayer was powerful because it gave him access to God. It built fellowship with God. It built communion with God. It built relationship with God. And the closer we are to God, the closer we are to access and get the resources that we need from God. Jesus was not powerful just because he was the Son of God. Jesus was powerful because he knew God and he got to know God. One way he did was through prayer. Because prayer is powerful. Prayer is so powerful that there was a minister by the name of John Knox. He was from Scotland. I think he was in the 1800s. It was during a time when the country was not a godly country. The hearts of the people were turned away from God. But he had such a burden for the people that he prayed. He said, God, give me Scotland or I will die. And he was so focused on prayer. He was so known for praying that even the Queen of England at the time said that she was afraid of his prayer more than she was afraid of all the armies of England. Can you imagine one man's prayer just one man praying struck somebody so much that they were not so afraid of an entire army of a country as they were of the one praying man. Because prayer was powerful. But if prayer is powerful, we have to use it to see its power. Right? It's like potential. If you have potential until the day you die, your life would not change any at all. If you're going to have potential, it will only benefit you if you use it. Prayer is powerful, but we can only defend the use of prayer if we actually pray. Prayer has no value to us if we do not pray. We can't access the power of prayer if we do not pray. So we have to engage in prayer to see its power. Prayer gives us instruction, it gives us correction, it gives us revelation, it gives us rebuke, it manifests answers, it gives us empowerment, it gives us the anointing to do the things we need to do. But in order to access the power, we simply have to pray. And we have to pray consistently. What many of us do is we take comfort in the fact that we can pray, and we hold it in our back pocket. It's like the fail-safe, the backup plan. And we only use it when life calls or bluff. So when tragedy strikes, we pull prayer out and we cash it in. And then a lot of the times, because we're so rusty, because we don't pray often, we don't even trust ourselves to pray. So that's the time that when we go to prayer lines, we call prayer hotlines, or we go on TBN, and we send prayer requests to John Hagee, or to Benny Hinn, or we call Pastor Keziah and Pastor Obi at 3 o'clock soliciting prayers. Because we don't use it. We don't access it. So we run to the people we think pray better than us, or we think have access to the power of God better than us. But prayer is for all of us. That's why the Bible says men ought always to pray and not faint. So prayer is powerful, and that is why we must pray. But if we are to access the power of prayer, then we have to apply prayer. We have to use it. We have to exercise that muscle for the prayer to be effective. So prayer is powerful. That's the first defense. The second defense is this. Not only is prayer powerful, but prayer is also practical. Say that for me. We must pray because prayer is practical. We must pray because prayer is practical. One of the things people who don't like to pray or people who don't believe in prayer say, that I've always heard them say, is that it's a waste of time. Why are you praying when you can do? Why are you praying to God when you can do it yourself? Why are you praying to God? It's a waste of time. You're wasting valuable time, and the thing is getting worse the longer you pray. But the thing is this. Prayer is not just a theory. Prayer is not just something up in the air. It's not like the wind. It's not just there. Prayer is an effective thing. First of all, because God is the one that gave prayer to us. Mankind didn't ask God, give me prayer so I can talk to you. Prayer was given to the believer first by God. And I don't know about you, but I don't see in the scripture that God is a wasteful person. So why would God give us something that doesn't make sense? Why would God give us something that is not effective? Why would God give us something that is not practical, that doesn't have use, that doesn't benefit us? He wouldn't. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the thing that is visible came from the thing that is invisible. When we read through Genesis, the Bible says that what? God spoke. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let the seas produce fish. Let the birds produce skies. God spoke and things came into existence. So even though prayer is not something we can touch, it doesn't mean that it cannot affect the things we can touch. James 5 verse 16 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Other translation says that it produces results. So prayer is practical because prayer can affect the physical world. When we look in 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18. It tells the story of Elijah. when he had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And the Bible says that Elijah prayed and asked that there be no rain, and there was no rain for 3 years. No matter what the people did, because of his prayer, in the physical world, no rain fell for 3 years. Until 3 years later, he prayed, and the Bible says that rain was released. So how then is prayer not practical? How then does prayer not able to affect our own life and the world around us? It has to be. Prayer is practical and effective because God is practical and effective. The power of God is practical and effective. So if we can access God's power, like we said, the first thing is that prayer is powerful, then that means that we can impact the world and we can impact the earth. Prayer is practical when we apply it, when we do it. Sometimes prayer is the manifested answer to the problem. But I think why people think prayer is a waste of time is because sometimes, instead of giving us the manifested answer, God gives us the solution to the answer. But if we don't act on the solution, if we don't do what God says, then how will we see the result? And then we get upset because we say, God hasn't answered prayer. Because we want God to give us a finished product. When many times the answer to our prayer lies within our own minds, within the capacity of our hands. The Bible says faith without works is death. And prayer is an exercise of faith. So when we pray, we are doing something that can affect our lives. So prayer is effective and practical when we use it. So we must pray. Say that for me. We must pray because prayer is practical. One more time. We must pray because prayer is practical. So prayer is powerful and prayer is practical. And because prayer is powerful and practical, then prayer is relevant. Say that, please. Prayer is relevant. Prayer is relevant. Prayer is relevant because God is relevant. Prayer is practical and powerful because the God we pray to is practical and powerful. So the only way prayer can be irrelevant is if God ceases to exist, and that's not possible. Prayer has a place in this time and in this age. This is not the time for the body of Christ to be wishy-washy and uncertain about prayer. This is not the time to begin to doubt if God still answers. It's not the time to begin to doubt if God is real. The rest of the world, the unbelievers do that enough. We can't help them prove that our God is not real. So we have to prove the relevance of prayer. Prayer is not the backup option. Prayer is always a viable option. It's not after we've done everything we can, then let's pray. That's not faith that God can work. That's faith that is the only thing I have left, so why not? That's not faith. That's the last resort. That's I have no other option. We can't always leave prayer to be because everything else has not worked. If prayer is viable and powerful and practical, then let's use it up front. If it is relevant, let's use it consistently and exercise that muscle. I believe the reason that we don't prove the relevance of prayer, I think some of us have trauma when it comes to prayer. Because we've prayed so long and God hasn't, or it seems like God has not answered, that we're afraid to pray again because we're hurt. Why should I pray if God, and if this one time I prayed, and this other time I prayed, and this other time I prayed, God didn't answer. God didn't come through. So we shy away from it. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to do it because we're afraid we'll be disappointed. But if you lose faith in prayer, my brothers and my sisters, then you have lost faith in God. The whole point of praying is to interact with the God who can do everything. So if you lose faith in prayer, you cannot claim to have faith in God. The people in Scripture, James chapter 5 says that if you are in trouble, then you should pray. James 5:13. James says, my brothers and sisters, if you are in trouble, pray. If there is any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray. And it wasn't that these people didn't have doctors. It wasn't that they didn't have access to medicine. They did. That was great for their time. But they had such belief in the relevance and the practicality and the power of prayer that they said it with all confidence. If you're sick, pray, and God will. If you are in trouble, pray, and God will. Before I came to Lee, I was working and I was trying to save. I was putting money away, saving money so I could come, so I could pay airfare and tuition and so on. But for the time I wanted to come, I wasn't able to save enough money to come for that time. And I think it was around the time I went back on the website and I checked and they had increased the tuition. So I was very disheartened. I was very low about it. Wasn't encouraged at all. And one night I went to church and there was a sister at my church. We called her Auntie B, Auntie Blossom. And she gave a testimony one night, and as she was saying it, she looked at me because she knew I was trying to go to school and I was saving money. And she told us her daughter was in her, I think it was her final year of college, or her third year of college. And it was the summer before that September semester when the school should have started. And the lady had just recently lost her job. So that was one income avenue that was shut down. So she was praying about it. God, you know, this is a situation, I need help, etc., etc. It was coming down to August, second week of August, still not seeing enough headway to pay. Third week of August, still no headway. Fourth week of August. I think it was 2 days before her daughter was to go back to school. They still didn't have anything for her to go back. She was in arrears at the apartment her daughter was staying in to the tune of, I think it was $150,000 she was owing. So she was praying, just praying, praying, trusting God to come through. So one morning, she had cleaned the house and everything. She was alone at the house. And she sat on the veranda. She was just talking to God in her heart. And the Lord said to her, she lived in one of those triangular houses. The roof was like a triangle. So the Lord said to her, get some bucket, you know, get some water in a bucket and just throw it on top of your roof. And, you know, she was questioning, you know, did God say that? Did God say it? She questioned. God said it again. So she did it. So when she threw the water on the roof, she went back to sit down on the veranda. And when she looked around, it looked like rain was falling off the front of the house because the water was running down. And as she looked at it, the Lord said to her, showers of blessing. I'll give you showers of blessing. She said, okay. A few hours after that, the landlord for her daughter called and said, hi, Miss Blossom, is your daughter coming back to stay at the house? And she said, I'm not sure. We're still gathering money. We're still working on it. So they had a conversation. The lady said, okay, no problem. A little bit after that, the landlord called her back and said, Miss Blossom, you know what? It's okay. I'll just write off the $150,000 that you owe me. And I'll do you one better. I'll write you a check for $100,000 to help you with her tuition. That was answer to prayer. That was relevant and current. That was powerful and practical. Because she prayed, and God never gave her the money in her hand. But God gave her an instruction. She obeyed, and then the answer to prayer manifested itself. Now, when she brought that testimony to church and she said that to me, at that moment, I had that same experience going through. I was trying to save money for school. It didn't seem enough for the time I wanted to actually go to school and enroll. But here I had somebody who was giving me a testimony that was relevant to me in the moment that I needed to hear. Now, if she had said to me, Brother Kamal, God will come through for you, I would have been encouraged. But she gave me encouragement plus evidence that prayer was relevant. It is one thing to tell people that God is real and God can do. But when you tell people that God is able and you show them what God has done for you, it makes all the difference in the world. People will argue with your thoughts, but they cannot argue with evidence. Evidence is always relevant. So the manifested answers to prayer makes prayer relevant. What we have done, I believe, as the body of Christ, is that we have treated prayer like comfort food. You know, when somebody tells you that they have a tragedy in their life or a situation they're trying to work with, and we say, oh, all I can do is pray for you. We don't say like the prayer will work. We say like we're giving them a cup of tea. Like the prayer is to tide you over until they find a cure for cancer. The prayer is to hold you and keep you comfortable until you figure it out. We don't think or we don't talk like prayer can fix it. We don't talk like God is able. We talk like God is a pillow to keep us all right until we figure it out or until life works itself out. That is great disregard for the powerful thing that prayer is. And even more so for the God that we pray to. I remember growing up and hearing the people in my church talk about prayer, and it made me want to pray. Our prayers must invoke faith in the hearers of in the people who hear us. I remember a lady at my church testifying that she was at home one day and they were between paychecks. She had no food in the house. And she prayed. She said, God, I have no food, but I believe that you will come through. So she filled the pot with water and put it on the fire and sat down at her window, and she just sat and watched. And as the pot was boiling, somebody just happened to pass by the house and said, hi, my sister, here's some food. God provided in the instant. When I heard things like that, it made me believe that God could answer right now if I asked right now. It made me believe that God would come through in the moment. It made me believe that prayer was capable of anything, because God was capable of anything. We cannot be comforted by the routine of prayer. We must be empowered by the answers to prayer. We cannot be comfortable in the fact that we can pray and speak words. We must aim and aspire for more than just that. If we believe in the God of prayer, if we believe and defend that God is powerful and practical and relevant, then we must endeavor to live lives of answered prayer. We must endeavor to live lives of evidence, lives of testimony, so that when people see us and we say to them, I will pray for you, it makes them believe that God will answer. The reason the prophets of old were so renowned where they were was because people knew that if I have a problem and I find the prophet will talk to God and I will get an answer. I don't know what we're doing wrong. I don't know if we need to change our approach. Maybe God will talk to somebody and a few weeks from now they will preach and tell us how to pray and get answers. But for today, I encourage and challenge us. Let us never speak of prayer casually again. Let us never say, I will pray for you because we don't have anything better to say. Let us not say, I will pray for you because we don't have the answers. When you tell somebody, I will pray for you, you are giving them the access to the answers for whatever it is they're going through. So we cannot say casually and then leave it, or promise a prayer and then forget about it, or say it so people can shut up and stop wasting your time. Prayer is far too powerful, far too practical, and far too relevant for us to treat it with disregard. Through prayer, we have access to the answer for all of humanity's problems. Because we have access to the God who can fix all of humanity's problems. So we, the people of the Mount Zion Prayer Center, we must pray. We must pray in faith. We must exercise the prayer. We must be able to tell people, I will pray for you. And they will be glad to hear it. They must be glad to hear that you will pray for them, because they know that God will answer. We must live lives of prayer that are so rich and that manifest the power of God so much that people must seek us out for prayer. They must stop us on the road in Walmart, at Target, and say, "Can you pray for me?" I heard that when you talk to God, God answers you. Will you pray for me? We must. We must show the world that prayer will have God heal sicknesses. That prayer in God will open barren wombs. That prayer in God will pay bills, will lift depression, will sort out anxiety, will do anything. Our lives must reflect the God that we pray to. So in closing, my brothers and my sisters, prayer is powerful, prayer is practical, and prayer is relevant, but only if we use it. God bless you.
And hallelujah. Amen. Find one or two people and just gather in threes if you can. Let's ask that God, first of all, will cause this word we received to really be seated in our hearts so that the student that is leading us can come. Amen. Let's all stand up together. Find two or three people. This is the most practical call to a life of fruitful prayer. Amen. Let's just begin to pray. Begin to ask the Lord, and then the student that is supposed to take it from here, just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just pray for God to give us the heart for our prayers to become relevant. Let's not repeat what God has spoken to us this morning. We can begin with repentance. Hallelujah. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, forgive me. You said, he that comes to you must believe that you are God. Father, forgive me. Open my eyes to a new place of understanding, the relevance, the manifestation, the productiveness of communion with you. Father, forgive me. Teach me how to stand in the gap more effectively. Father, make what I've heard this morning be relevant to my life of prayer. Father, make prayer relevant to my family, to my job, to everything that I am. Prayer is communion with you. Make this relevant to me. Anywhere I've made prayer mundane, a religious activity, Father, convict me. Remove the religiosity of prayer. Make it a lifeline, a relationship, a reality of your presence. Let the power of prayer inspire my life. You've spoken to me this morning. May I never leave this place without making a decision. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for calling me, calling us to a life of powerful praying, a life of practical living our prayer, productive relevance of prayer, oh God, in our lives, in our family. Let it be the priority, the first thing. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your word. Oh, Father, help us to see prayer through your eyes this morning, through what you've spoken to us this morning. A privilege, a relationship, an answer, a solution. Thank you, Father.